So Marshall Islands are in the northern Pacific, about halfway between Hawaii and Japan.
And what are their strategic importance to the U.S. in the past?
It's shifted over time. So after World War II, the United States worked with the United Nations to become the governing authority for the trust territory of the Pacific Islands, which was a region that extended from the Marshall Islands to the east all the way over to Guam and Saipan to the west, so that the U.S. Had a strategic trust territory that spanned the whole northern Pacific, essentially, between Hawaii and Asia. And it was there in this region that the United States looked to the new trust territory as a place to learn more about its newest weapons that came out of World War II, the atomic and thermonuclear weapons.
And so what do we know about those, about how they were used?
So in the Marshall Islands, the United States conducted 67 atmospheric nuclear weapons tests from 1946 to 1958. The equivalent of 1.6 Hiroshima bombs every single day for 12 years. One of the detonations alone, the Bravo test that was detonated on March 1st, 1954, is the equivalent of 1,000 Hiroshima bombs. I always find it interesting how often we know the stories about Japan. We know about Hiroshima and Nagasaki. We know stories about Japanese-American internment here in Washington State. We're beginning to learn about the Hanford and the plutonium. Well, it was the plutonium partly from Hanford that fueled these bombs in the Marshall Islands. So there's a very strong Washington State connection there. We think about where did that plutonium go, and certainly there are issues about cleanup at Hanford and other locations, but some of that plutonium traveled in the weapons that went out to the Marshall Islands. They were detonated, and that plutonium moved through the environment, remains in that environment, moved through all living organisms in the Marshall Islands, including the people. That plutonium is in the bodies of many Marshallese who then legally are able to come into the United States to live, to work, to serve in our armed forces, vibrant parts of our communities. But much of this knowledge, as I was saying before, you know, we certainly hear about the Japanese side of the history, but we don't know about the Marshall Islands side. And that history is often, it's right in front of us. We just haven't been able to quite access it. It's, you know, it becomes visible to us through, if you think about it, like a lot of people don't know where the Marshall Islands are, but really everybody in the entire world knows a Marshallese word. If I were going to ask you, like, do you know a Marshallese word? Can you think of one?
No.
You know one. I guarantee you. I promise you.
Okay. Well, then surprise me.
Bikini.
Oh, of course.
The bikini bathing suit. So after World War II, when French fashion designers were looking for something liberating and new, just kind of symbolized the euphoria of the war being over, and they designed the bikini bathing suit, and they were looking for something hot and explosive and new that emerged, then they looked to the place where the nuclear weapons was happening, the testing was happening, and that was on Bikini Atoll in the Marshall Islands. And so the splitting of the atoms that create the energy of the bomb is like the splitting of the bathing suit that creates the two pieces. But the word bikini in the Marshall Islands actually means the surface of the coconut. Bikini is somebody's sacred home islands. The people of Bikini can't live on their islands anymore because there's so much radiation there today. And so the Marshall Islands becomes visible in certain ways like that. I think another story that probably brings it into full focus for you, again, probably most people, if you think about it, do you know where SpongeBob SquarePants lives?
No.
I don't really. Yeah, well, I didn't until I started to look at this stuff. He lives on Bikini Bottom. And that's where he resides. And so that radiation that goes down into Bikini's lagoon to the bottom is where the fictional characters in SpongeBob SquarePants reside. But, you know, Bikini and the people of Bikini are not fictional. They have contemporary issues that are connected to these historical events. The testing program may have ended for the United States when it came to an end in 1958, but for the people of the Marshall Islands, there are a lot of violences that continue from the testing program, the inability to live on their home islands, the healthcare issues and problems that remain with them today, the residual radiation on the islands. And so there's a great need for awareness and understanding and friendship and solidarity for us to see, when I say us, I'm an American citizen, I'm a Washington resident and taxpayer, and think about what are our responsibilities as U.S. citizens, as people of Washington State, to think about the role that Hanford played and the connections to this community.
Did you want to talk to her?
I'm going to go back upstairs.
Okay, great, Laura. See you in a bit.
So you know a lot of these people. How did they get to Washington State?
They came here for a lot of different reasons. So the agreement between the Marshall Islands and the U.S. government allows for Marshallese to legally enter into the United States to reside, to live, to work, to go to school. And so, like lots of immigrant communities, it's people come to access health care, to access education, to employment opportunities. In the Marshall Islands, a lot of people have been displaced from their land, and it makes access to health care jobs sometimes quite difficult. And so because of the arrangement where Marshallese can come here, they come here seeking some of the things that other immigrant communities do. But the Marshallese people serve in every branch of the U.S. Armed Forces. And so there are Marshallese who have served in Afghanistan and Iraq and Kuwait. And so it's a very, very close relationship between the United States and the Marshall Islands. Still today, the United States retains full defense rights for the Marshall Islands. So even though it's a foreign nation, the Marshall Islands is in the United Nations, the U.S. still has full defense control of that whole former trust territory of the Pacific Islands. And so it's a different type of relationship. And I think because of that closeness between the U.S. and the Marshall Islands, I think that's part of the reason that many of the communities end up coming here.
Do they run into immigration issues at all, given our debates about immigration in the United States right now?
I think yes, and you should definitely ask some of the community members to share their stories about that. Whereas United States activities in the islands have impacted virtually every aspect of Marshallese life. The political system, the economics, the religion, the health, everything has been affected by U.S. colonialism and the activities out in the islands. Yet when the people of the Marshall Islands come to the United States, almost nobody here knows about this. And so on the one hand, for them, where the U.S. has left such an imprint on every aspect of their lives, and then to come here and have people in the United States know very little about this, I think is a little bewildering, perhaps at times. And so I think that is one of the difficulties that they face. I think most often in the institutions that they engage with, most of the people just don't know about the history or the relationship. So there's a big need to do education and awareness, and that's some of what we're here for today. That's part of the reason that we're connecting with the state legislators. That's part of the reason we're doing discussions in the community, is to build this understanding and awareness so that we can talk about these issues going forward.
So what are the physical issues they're most likely to have? Are they related to radiation?
There's still, not everybody in the Marshall Islands certainly has an illness related to the weapons testing. But we know this. So the United States released enormous amounts of radiation in the Marshall Islands. We know that radiation causes cancer. And so the likelihood of contracting cancer if you're in the Marshall Islands is going to be higher than other places. In the Marshall Islands today, there is no oncologist. There is no chemotherapy. There's no cancer care that's even available. So there's really no option. If somebody's diagnosed with cancer, there's no option for treatment in the islands. People don't want to leave their family systems, their supports, their land, their culture, their familiarity, their language, everything that helps them feel grounded at a time when they're sick, certainly. But if a family member gets sick, they often have to find resources for treatment for for the people beyond that. And so
I assume that's one reason they come to the United States.
Yeah, it is one of the reasons. It's certainly not the only reason, but it is a factor. So, you know, cancer, thyroid issues, but also some of the displacement from their home islands and the inability to access local foods there has led to dietary issues, the diabetes, high blood pressure, some of those secondary health issues that are also related to the colonial activities. Not, you know, not entirely, but they're certainly factors.